On Friday. All right. Open your Bibles up to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be at this morning. We're going to cover a whopping two verses, but these verses are really important because they have to do with something that every one of us have, and that is our brain, our minds, our thinking. Really important section of scripture about how we as Christians are to be thinking and how important the mind is as believers. And so let's take a look at our text, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Today, the occupations or the fields of the mind or the mental are abundant in our colleges. And many people are looking to them for answers. And there are a myriad of books right now that are out there that are written by psychiatrists and psychologists. And many of them are popular. They've made the New York Times best-selling list. You see these people on talk shows, and they're giving answers, and they're giving ideas about why people struggle the way that they do. And almost every single time, if you've noticed this, every time there's a tragedy that happens in our country, and some crazy person goes on a knife-stabbing spree or a gun-shooting spree and starts shooting people up, it seems like every news channel and even the talk shows, they'll bring on their expert psychologists or psychiatrists. And they will psychoanalyze the psycho person or the situation and why it happened. And you'll see them all over the place on Oprah or Dr. Phil. I don't watch any of those, but I hear they're on there, right? And so today's psychotherapy is probably at an all-time height in popularity. In fact, nearly every Hollywood celebrity now has their own personal therapist that they go to who gets paid lots of bucks, big bucks, to psychoanalyze them and try to fix them. And I've known people that are actually really addicted to therapy, like a drug even. Now, in addition to all of that, there's a plethora of drugs that are dealing with the problems of the mind or problems of emotions. And they're constantly coming out with new, improved, or better drugs that will help a person overcome their depression, their anxiety. And so I call these man's fixes. And so man has his fixes for these things. Now this morning, in conjunction and in context with our study last Sunday, God gives us his cure, his antidote, his fix for what troubles us and what ails our hearts and our minds as believers. Now, last time we learned that there is a way for us to deal with our anxiety, to deal with our worries, to deal with our fears, our struggles, and how God wants us to be able to overcome those things. Now, we might say that this chapter, or this portion of scripture that we're looking at here, is God's prescription for sound mental health. But prescriptions, you guys know this, prescriptions do not work unless they are taken or they are applied. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I will put my vote of confidence in what God has to say and take God's prescription over a man's prescription any day and every day. Now you say, well, Pastor Joe, why would you say that? I was watching a podcast or listened to a podcast this week, and the guy was talking about our medical professionals in the United States. And that, I don't know if you know this, but the number three cause of death in the United States is medical error, doctor error. Number three cause of death. And he was saying that 250,000 people die a year because of mistakes that doctors make. So when you watch out who you put your trust in. So the Lord is telling us here, in context, what we should do when we begin to struggle with anxiety or worry or fear. Let's take a look at it again and we'll kind of tie it together from last Sunday. But we looked at chapter 4, and we'll start reading at verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand," or the Lord's near. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then he comes right on to the next section where we're starting this morning. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just." And he goes on in this list of 8 things. And then he says, "Meditate on these things." So as we look at this section of scripture here, we see that in the context, Paul is addressing the issue of our thought life, our minds, our thinking. Now, we may not have realized this or taken maybe mental note of this as we've been reading through the scripture, but the Bible has a lot to say about our minds, our thoughts, our thinking, and how it will affect the rest of our lives. It'll affect our attitudes. It'll affect the way that we look at life, our outlooks. It'll affect our actions. And so it's really important to recognize the direct link or correlation between how we think and how we end up living our lives. And the main battle, and this is the battle that we are in. We are in a spiritual battle, but Satan loves to attack our minds. He loves to attack us in our thoughts. And so we need to understand how to fight this battle and how to be victorious in the midst of the struggle. A little trivia that's not so trivial is here in the book of Philippians, this book points out 25 different times, this short little book, 25 different times the importance of our thoughts or the importance of our thinking and how it affects our being, how it affects our living. Proverbs tells us, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Ephesians 6:17 teaches us about putting on the armor of God every single day. And one of those pieces of armor, I believe, is especially important because of where it fits. And so Ephesians 6:17 tells us to put on the armor of God and to put on daily the helmet of salvation, which is a protection for the head, or we might say spiritually, for the mind, or for the thoughts, or for the brain. And so it's important that we understand how these kinds of teachings are good for us in the sense that they can teach us how to be overcomers of the things that attack us or come against us or the things that we struggle with in life. Now, last time, Paul began to develop this idea about guarding our hearts and our minds, and he showed us that in order to put a guard or a garrison, was the word that's used in the sense of a military term, a garrison of peace over our hearts and our minds, prayer is key. So we saw what we're to do. We saw in verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we're not to be anxious. We're to bring everything to the Lord and give it over to the Lord. And then as we do that, as we offer those things up to the Lord in prayer, we learn that God will give us something in exchange. And so we won't be defeated by anxiety or worry or fear. We don't need to be defeated by that because God has promised to give us his peace to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so, what are we supposed to do? Give our concerns, give our burdens, our worries, our anxieties, our fears, our problems, give them over to the Lord. And here's the key, leave them with the Lord. A lot of times we give something to the Lord and then we take it right back. We're not supposed to do that. We're to trust in his power. We're to trust in his goodness. We're to trust in his love, in his sovereignty, in his care, his wisdom, and his truth. And so he then will give us his peace in exchange as we give him our worry and anxiety and our fears. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me, it sounds like an awesome blessing, a great, sweet deal. Because I'm getting the good end of it. I give him my junk. He gives me his treasure. to guard me, his peace that transcends or surpasses understanding, to guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So I pray, cast my cares upon the Lord, as Peter says, giving everything over to him, and then he gives me his peace. And so we learn that in this section here, prayer is key, and so is our thought life. The things that we think about. Why are our thoughts so essential, and why are they so important? Well, we need to lay hold of this and understand this so that we don't get overwhelmed by the things of the world, because it's very easy in this culture that we live in to be overwhelmed with worry and fear and anxiety just like that. All we have to do is turn on the news for 5 minutes and you're probably going to be stressing out, starting to get worried or concerned about things, burdened. And so it's important that we learn that God does not want us to be living like that. He doesn't want us to be living overcome with fear and worry and anxiety. So that's why he's promised to put a guard or a garrison, if you will, of his peace to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus supernaturally. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said one time, life consists of what a man is thinking about all day long. John Locke wrote, he said, the actions of a man are the best interpreters of their thoughts. And James Allen said this, you are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. So there's a lot to this, maybe more than we thought in Scripture, dealing with the mind. One of my favorite quotes is this one, written by a guy named John Stott. At least I think he wrote it. That's where I read it. And he said this, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And so the thoughts that we plant, what we allow ourselves to think about is going to truly affect us in here and the now, but maybe even in eternity. So our lives then become the sum total or the byproduct of our thinking or our thoughts. And so how and what we think about, what we meditate upon, what we fix our minds on will determine victory or defeat for us. And so many Christians get defeated from the get-go. They get defeated right here in the mind where the battle rages. And so the mind and the thoughts, the cause of wrong thinking, allowing their minds to go off on the wrong direction, contrary to the Word of God, listening to and falling prey to believing lies, the lies of the world, the lies of the news outlets, the lies of, you know, so-called experts or people. And so what happens? We start to listen to these things over and over. We fill our thoughts, our hearts, our minds with these negative thoughts, these fearful thoughts, and pretty soon it begins to bring us down. You see, wrong thinking leads to negative emotions, which then leads to, after negative emotions, it leads to unwise choices, unwise behavior, which leads to unpleasant or devastating consequences. But you contrast that with right thinking. Right thinking leads to positive emotions, which leads to wise behavior, which leads then to fruitful consequences and pleasant outcomes. So input equals output. So what you allow in your mind to think about is really going to affect your life. So listen to what the Scripture's telling us. You know, the Bible's telling us here, Paul's telling us here, that our thoughts, our minds, our mindset, and the focus of our thoughts and our thinking is going to affect our lives in every aspect. Romans 8:6, another place Paul talks about the mind. Romans 8:6 says, the mindset on the things of the flesh, the mindset, you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh, will bring forth death. But the mind that is set on the Spirit brings forth life and peace. And so where your mind is set, the things you focus on, is going to determine a lot in your life. It's either going to bring forth death or it's going to bring forth life and peace. So we see the importance of our minds and the focus of our minds and what we think about and what we allow ourselves to meditate upon. Now, last time we ended with this awesome verse in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 that says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So what is your mind stayed on? Isaiah says, if your mind is stayed on the Lord, you will keep that person in perfect peace. As their mind is stayed on the Lord, they're trusting in you. Now, the bottom line is where we focus in our thoughts and our minds, what we allow them to be stayed upon, to think on, to meditate upon, to be fixed on, whether it's right thinking or wrong thinking, is going to affect our lives either for good or for evil. And it's going to do it in very profound ways. That's why we're taught so much about this in the Bible. Colossians 3:2 is another example. It says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:13, he says, prepare your minds for action. Interesting. Prepare your minds for action. See, preparation of the mind is essential for right actions. And so we need to be filling our minds with truth, with God's word, with God's thoughts. And so when we look back at verse 8, this is what he's telling us now. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, you've heard that old adage before, probably, right? That you are what you eat. And that's true, probably, in a real truth way, it's physically. If you eat a lot of junk food and stuff like that, like I like to do, you're going to get a little chubby, you know? And so that's been what's happening to me. And so I was looking at some advertisement that came up. And this advertisement was, if you take this keto pill diet, it will melt all your fat away. And I'm like, that sounds wonderful. So I listened to the whole presentation, right? Because I'm thinking, man, I've been trying to lose weight and I'm not losing weight and I'm going to the gym, I'm exercising. And so I decide I'm going to get me a free bottle of that stuff because they offered a free bottle. So I ordered a free bottle. And the thing got messed up and it charged me $198. And so my wife immediately sees the bill and calls me. What is this that you're buying for $198? And I said, honey, I'm going to lose weight. You know, and she's like, stop eating cherry pie. You know, and she starts yelling at me and stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to, you know, kind of thing. And so, but you are what you eat.
Omi.
But what's that?
Omi.
Omi. Omi, yeah, there you go. One time, Mr. Ponce, who's now with the Lord enjoying heaven, he said to me, Joseph, I need to talk to you. I said, what's up? He goes, you need to do some pushaways. I'm like, what's that? He goes, push the food away from the table or yourself away from the table. I'm like, thanks, Mr. Ponce. You must have the gift of encouragement, I see, you know, kind of thing. And so anyways, but the thing is you are what you eat physically, but spiritually and mentally, it's the same thing. What we allow in our minds, what we allow our thoughts to focus in on, it's going to affect us for good or for bad. Now, whether we like it or not, how we think and what we think, what we allow into our minds, it does influence us in what we do. It really influences us in the area of feelings and emotions. And then in our attitudes, it starts to have an effect on every one of those areas. Think about it like a train. The engine is your mind, your thinking. And then it pulls the car of emotions. And then behind that is the car of behavior. And then right after that is the caboose of consequences. And so there's a very clear, distinct pattern in Scripture that tells us that right thinking, godly thoughts, will influence our emotions for good, which in turn will influence our behavior and produce positive consequences, good consequences. But it can be the exact opposite also. So what we think will strongly then influence our course or the course of our lives. And so if your thinking is messed up, there's a very good possibility that your life is going to be messed up too. And thus Paul says, not only do we need to depend upon God in prayer, giving him our anxieties and our worries and all that, but we need to focus our minds on right thinking. Now, I've heard the excuse from people before, I can't help what I think about. But here's the thing, yes, we can. And guess what? You are in control of your thoughts. You are in control of what you allow yourself to think about. Raul Reese one time, he's a pastor in California, he said, we can't help, you know, help it if a bird flies over our heads. Thoughts are going to come and go, right? We can't help that. But he said, you can stop a bird from building a nest on your head. And that's what we have to do when it comes to our thought life. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. And so often we Christians, we're focusing in on the outward actions, and we don't even stop to think about how important our thought life is to the Lord. The Lord is looking at our thought life. And so good thoughts are going to bear good fruit, bad thoughts are going to bear bad fruit, and each man is his own gardener. I don't know what you're thinking about. You don't know what I'm thinking about. But we have to learn how, as believers, to control the things that we think about and put them on the things they should be on and throw out or weed out the things that shouldn't be in there. Now, notice the end of verse 8. He says, meditate on these things. He gives us a list of 8 things, and then he says, meditate on these things. The NIV says, think on such things. The New American Standard Version says, dwell on these things. Another version says, fix your thought on such things. And one paraphrased Bible says, fill your minds and meditate on things, true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. Then he says, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, the things to praise, not the things to curse. So in light of that, let me ask you, and only you can answer this, what is your thought like, your thought life like in your everyday living? Now this word that he uses here, when he tells us to meditate on these things, or think on these things, or dwell on these things, is the Greek word logizomai, and it means to deduce or to reason, to calculate or to ponder. It's a deliberate thinking on something. To subject or to have protracted analysis in your thoughts. So thinking on something long enough and intensely enough that it begins to shape you and change your character. That's the idea here when he says meditate. It's not just a passing thought. It's a thought where you begin to deliberately, purposefully, in a prolonged fashion, think about the things you need to be thinking about scripturally. So Paul says, dwell on and meditate on and ponder whatever things are true, he says. And he gives us this list. And true is number one on the list. So first of all, we're to focus our minds on truth. Well, what is truth? Where do we find truth at? John 17, 17, the words of Jesus tell us where. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So the truth of God's word needs to be what we meditate upon, what we fill our hearts and our minds with. Sanctify them. Set them apart by your truth, Jesus says. Your word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, all your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. So the Bible is the ultimate, the epitome of truth. And so in order to have and maintain a peace of heart and a peace of mind, not only do we need to pray and give all of our junk to the Lord, but we're to put our minds, to fix our minds, to dwell upon things that are true, which means that we're going to fill our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, and we're going to ponder, we're going to study and memorize the word of God, the words of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. So it's focusing our attention on Jesus himself. So if you do a mind or a thought check and you ask yourself, what have I been thinking about? Is truth right there at the top of the list? Am I putting truth in my mind? So we're to think about the Word of God. We're to fix our eyes and our hearts and our minds on Jesus, who is truth. And so it's essential for us to do this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Next, he says that we're to meditate or think on or dwell on or to ponder or fix your thoughts on whatever things are noble. That's the next thing. After truth, he says noble. What does noble mean? It means things that are honorable, that are morally attractive. So ask yourself, is what I'm thinking about, is this honorable? Is this something that I ought to be thinking about? Does it honor God? Does it reflect His will and His purposes for my life? Am I thinking about things that are noble? See, a lot of our thoughts, we wander into territory, into places that is not God-honoring. It's carnal thinking, worldly thinking, sinful thinking. And I struggle with this too. You know, when I'm doing this sermon, I'm like, Lord, I don't like this sermon because I'm getting busted by the sermon, right? I struggle sometimes. I can tell you where I really struggle in my thought life is when I'm driving. And it's not my driving that I'm mad at. I'm mad at everybody else's driving. And then I start thinking of ways to teach them a lesson. And then the Lord says, no, Joseph, you're a pastor. You can't be shooting people, you know, stuff like that. And so, you know, and I struggle, and I know I struggle with thoughts I shouldn't have, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I mean, here I am, like, I'm going to pull the guy over and give him a piece of my mind. And then the Lord says, why don't you pull him over and give him a piece of the gospel? Oh, yeah, good idea, Lord. I didn't think of that, you know, kind of thing. And so I struggle with my thoughts at times. And so a lot of my thoughts are not noble. Next, he says, whatever things are just. So, in addition to focusing and meditating on things that are true and things that are noble, we're to focus and think about things that are just, right things, things of justice or righteousness. And these are used, these words are used, interestingly enough, to describe the character and the nature of God. He's a just God. And so it's a picture of our duty. We're to focus in on things that are just. So before we do anything, before we walk on any path, we should ask ourselves, or go down or knock on any door, or, you know, do anything that we decide to do, we should ask ourselves, is this just? Is this right? Or is this wrong? Is this just or is this unjust? Is this righteous or is this wicked? Think about what you're doing before you do it. Meditate upon what is just. What's the thing that the Lord wants you to do? Next, our minds are to be stayed on and meditate on and fixed on whatever things are pure. Now, this word comes from the same root word as holy. And it means that it means to be pure from defilement, from physical or moral impurity. And it carries with it the idea of internal integrity, internal purity. So we're to think upon the things that are pure. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. William MacDonald said, right living results from right thinking. If a person's thought life is pure, then his life will most likely be pure. On the other hand, if a person's mind is a fountain of corruption, then you can be sure that the stream that issues from it will be filthy also. So if you have sewage of the mind, it's going to issue in a stinky life. It's going to come out in a stinky life. And so Christians, we need to understand this. This world is a dirty, defiled place. It's defiling. If we allow it to defile us, it'll defile us. It will pollute us. James says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this is to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and he says to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we have to be on our guard and not allow ourselves to be polluted by the world or by the world's thinking. Sometimes you can hear Christians who have been listening to the news and they start saying the very same things that the newscasters are saying. They're saying the same thing the world is saying. We're not to be polluted by the thinking of the world that is wrong or that is off. And so we have to be careful about this. So we have to think and ask ourselves, when we're thinking about these things, is this going to be defiling my life as a Christian? And we have to be careful that we don't spend our time filling our eyes and our ears and our minds and our thoughts with dirty, filthy, questionably, morally questionably things. And then if we're doing that, how are we going to have victory? How are we going to stay pure? And it's everywhere. It's in music. It's in the music we listen to. It's in the movies that we watch, the internet, television, books, video games. It's everywhere. And so we have to be able to focus our attention on things that are pure and not things that are going to defile us. Things that are holy. Psalm 119, verse 9, 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Great question. How can we keep our way pure? By living according to your word. And then he writes, if it's David, he says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And then he says this, so beautiful. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the word of God, meditated upon, pondered, thought upon, that we're thinking pure things, the things of the word of God. As we do that, we hide his word in our hearts. It will keep us from sin. Bunyan said, he said, this book can keep you from sin, but sin can keep you from this book. So as we look at this, this teaching here is so important for every one of us as Christians to understand how we are supposed to be thinking. In fact, we're taught that we need to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. I'll show you the verse. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin looking at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Oops, I went the wrong way. And check out this verse. It's really powerful. And so we'll begin reading at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing, notice, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so we are to take, in the spiritual battle that we're in, every thought captive to obedience to Christ. That's how we're victorious. And so we are taught here what we're to think about. Now, he says, let your mind, basically Paul's saying this here and in other places, let your mind be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not by your flesh, and guard what you allow in. Don't let your minds meditate upon or think upon or dwell upon things that are wrong or negative or evil or that are lies. Don't feed your fears. Don't feed your anxieties. Don't feed your worries. Don't dwell on or ponder on things that are going to push you further away from God rather than draw you closer to the Lord. Don't focus in on the past and the things that you can't change. It's gone already. Give it to the Lord. Put it under the blood of Christ and move forward. And so I see Christians all the time who are doing the opposite of what verse 8 tells us to do. Verse 8 tells us what we're supposed to be doing, and they're doing the opposite. And too many times they're allowing themselves to get all cluttered, their minds are all cluttered, and they're dwelling on things that are untrue instead of true. They're dwelling on things that are unjust instead of just. They're thinking about things that are ignoble instead of noble, impure instead of pure, ugly instead of lovely. A bad report instead of good report, unvirtuous instead of virtuous, and despicable instead of praiseworthy. And so many Christians are being defeated in their thought life right away because they don't understand how important it is that we put on the helmet of salvation and then we begin to have right thoughts. And so no wonder that so many Christians are grumpy and depressed, long-faced and joyless and hopeless because they're putting their thoughts on the wrong things. They're allowing their thoughts to meditate on the wrong things. And so those kinds of Christians, those kinds of people are hard to be around Because they have wrong thinking instead of right thinking, and that's controlling and governing their lives and their actions. Well, what's the cure? Is there a cure? Yes. The cure is right here in verse 8. But there's another one, another great one. Look over at Romans chapter 12. Another great cure for wrong thinking is Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So first of all, first and foremost, that we surrender everything. We give ourselves over to the Lord. Then he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we're to renew our minds with the things of God. Now let's touch on these last four. Whatever things are lovely, it means attractive, winsome, or beautiful. Our minds need to dwell on not ugly things, the ugly things of this life, but the things that are lovely in this life. Whatever things are of good report. Now this world, like I said, is a bastion of bad news constantly. All you have to do, and I don't recommend you do this, but all you have to do is turn on the nightly news and you can get depressed real quick. This fallen world is messed up. This fallen world is mixed up. And this fallen world is a dirty place. So how much time do we spend, think about this, how much time do we spend putting in God's truth versus the negative garbage of the world? How much time do we spend in the Bible daily versus watching television daily? How much time in the Bible versus the internet? How much time in the Bible versus video games? How much time in the scripture versus Facebook or whatever you're into? So how much time are we committing to putting things that are godly into our hearts and into our minds? And so he goes on, he says, if there is any virtue, which means moral excellence, or something that's praiseworthy, something that deserves to be commended, that's uplifting, that's godly, Paul says, meditate on that. Fill your minds with those things. Remember, garbage in and garbage out, good in and good out. And so the payoff of right thinking is going to be right living, but you have to have the right input first. Now notice how you know, living like this affected Paul. What I love about Paul is that Paul lived out what he preached. Look what he says in verse 9. It's amazing. I love it, he says. He says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now imagine you, right now. Could you say to anyone that you know that you're a Christian and so, hey, I'm a believer, and I'm saying verse 9 is true 100% of my own life. Could you say that as a believer? That verse 9 would represent you. Could you say to someone, hey, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. Paul could say that because he was living out what he was teaching. He said, whatever you've learned or received. Now, when you learn and receive something, it's more than just hearing it. It's absorbing it. It's taking it in, making it a part of your being. You know, so many people come to church. I'm telling you this. They come to church and the sermon goes like this, one ear and out the other. They don't apply it. They don't live it. And that's not going to do you any good. And so, you know, I think about my own self. I've heard probably in my 40 years of being a pastor, thousands and thousands of sermons. I probably preached 2,000 or 3,000 sermons. I don't know. I haven't added them up. But as a Christian all these years, 40 years, I've heard just thousands of sermons. But the thing is, it's not just hearing them. It's we need to do them. And that's what he's saying here. Paul is saying, look, the things that you learned and received, that you heard, that you saw in my life, these do, he says. Do them. And when you do them, the God of peace will be with you. James tells us not to simply hear the word and so deceive ourselves. He says, do what it says. I was talking to a pastor one time. about a struggle that I was having in counseling. I was counseling somebody, and the person kept coming back week in and week out for several weeks. And every week we were back on the same exact topic. And I'd say, well, here, read these scriptures and go and pray about it and ask the Lord to help you and apply these verses to your life, and then you'll get better. And the person kept coming back with the same thing. None of you in this room, of course, but somebody else. And so this happened years ago. And so I called up this pastor that I know. His name's Richard Encinas. And he's got a master's degree in counseling, and he's a wonderful counselor. And I said, Richard, I'm having this struggle with this person, and they're not like getting it. They're not doing it. He goes, Joseph, here's what I do. If a person comes back to counseling, by the third visit, if they have not applied what I taught them in the first two visits, and by the third visit, they're still saying the same thing and they're not doing it, he said, I tell them, sorry, we're not going to do this anymore because I'm not a therapist. I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and you need to apply it and do it. So we need to be doers of the Word. Apply what God's Word tells us and obey what He tells us. If we're going to see benefits from it, that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying that exact thing. He's saying the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these you need to do, and then when you do them, the God of peace will be with you. And so Paul is saying, look, the benefits of obeying the Word of God and meditating upon and thinking upon things that are right and lovely and noble and all the things we just learned is going to be life transforming for you. But you have to do them. So we need to get our thoughts and our minds dwelling on truth habitually if you're going to experience the blessings that God is offering to us in His Word. Being a Christian, guys, takes a spiritually disciplined life, a spiritually disciplined mind. And that's how our emotional issues are going to get resolved. Our behavioral issues will be resolved as we begin to meditate upon the things of the Lord and fill our thoughts and our minds with the things that are of the Lord. And so if your emotions are ruling you rather than your thoughts ruling your emotions, then you're going to be all whacked out. You can't let your emotions rule your life. You've got to think right and get your emotions in check so that you're not all whacked out. That's what happens. So as we kind of end this, I want to end with some application. So maybe some kind of to-do daily, simple things that can make us have or help us to have a healthy spiritual mind. Number one, begin and end your day every day with truth. Read the Word of God to start your day off, and then let that be the last thing that you put into your head before you go to sleep. Turn off Jimmy Fallon and CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or whatever you're into. Turn that off and get into the Word of God and let Jesus and His voice, His Word, fill your hearts and your minds. Step number one, you do that daily, you're going to get stronger as a Christian. Number two, meditate upon the Word of God. Memorize the Word. What does it mean? You know, you don't have to read giant portions of Scripture. You can read little portions, but when you're reading that little portion, ponder it. Meditate on it. Allow it to sink in and say, what are you saying here, Lord? And how do you want me to live this? How do you want me to make this a part of my life? And so as you saturate your heart and your mind, you hide God's Word in your heart, it's going to keep you from sin. And then carry a Bible with you. I do this. I was talking to Larry Leitner. We'd be hunting together, some of the other guys. And a lot of us, we carry little Bibles in our backpacks. So when we sit down and we're going to eat lunch or we're by ourselves or whatever or we're resting, you know, we can open the Bible and just read some scripture while you're out. You can keep a Bible in your car or, you know, you're going to go into the doctor's office and you're going to be sitting in the DMV or whatever. Take your little Bible in and read your Bible. It'll help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord as you think upon and meditate upon the Word of God. Maybe when you go out, write a scripture verse, stick it in your pocket, and then read it where you're out throughout the day and memorize that verse so that the Word of God is hidden inside of you. So many simple things that we can do to help you grow as a believer and meditating upon and thinking about the things that you're supposed to be thinking about. And so you use your time wisely. When you're driving, listening to, you know, a Bible app or Bible teaching or just the Bible, you can listen to the Bible read to you while you're driving down the road. So what you're doing is you're filling your heart and your mind with things that reflect the things of the Lord in your life, and they're going to begin to change you, and you're going to begin to see your life is being transformed because of God and His Word. It has that power to change us. And so it takes a little bit of discipline, a little bit of effort on our part. And so Paul tells us to meditate on these things. And if we do these things, he says, the God of peace will be with you. How many of you guys want that? I want the God of peace to be with me every day. I want to have the peace of God with me every day. Well, it's available, but we have to do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. It's such a blessing to learn these things, the things that you teach us on how to live the Christian life, how to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, how to have right thinking and right living and right speaking and right believing, because our heart is filled with truth, not the garbage of the world. So I pray, Lord, maybe there's some house cleaning that needs to be done inside of us, in our thoughts, our minds. Maybe some things need to change. I pray, Lord, that you would go in and just clean it out. And help us this week to think differently than we ever have. That this sermon would change the way that we look at life because we think differently. And our meditation is upon the things that are above, not on the garbage of the world. So we ask for help, Lord. And may you bless all my brothers and sisters in this room with that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.